Word, I want you to go over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, get you to the Word. 2 Kings chapter 4. One more time. Somebody say, the best is yet to come. That's our word, man. The best is yet to come. I don't care how long you live, but you need to realize, I don't care if you got gray hair, wrinkles, and everything's dropping and going south. I need you to realize the best is yet to come in your life. I don't care if 1999 you thought was your best year, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you hear, God's got work for you. Come on, God's got blessings for you. God's got things in store. The best is yet to come. 2 Kings chapter 4, let's use this right here to kind of get us where I believe we need to be. It reads as follows, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. That's deep. Let me make sure you understand your Bible, because that some of y'all are like, that just sounds crazy. If you had debt, just so you understand your Bible, let me just clarify. The reason why she says that, you know, the creditor is coming to take my two sons. If you had debt and you couldn't pay your debt, they come take your kids. And your kids would be slaves until you pay your debt. Some of y'all look like you'll take that trade off right now. Come get these jokers right now. If I ain't got to pay that car, no, all right, let me, I'm just saying, okay. But that's what she's saying. She says, listen, she's in panic that, listen, they're coming to get my kids. And the creditor, what she says, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. She's like, I'm in a bad situation. So Elijah says to her, what shall I do for you? He said, tell me, what do you have in the house? First and foremost, let me tell somebody, you got to know what you need from God. Some of y'all coming over, you don't even know specifically what you need. He said, listen, what do you need from me? You need to be able to be specific with God in what you need. Let me help you. You need to specifically say, God, this is what I need. I need this specific thing taken care of. Because I believe many of us don't really know what we need. If you told God, everybody else talking about, God, I need some money, but you need to say, God, I need exactly $20,105. Come on, somebody. You need to be specific, because I don't think that we sometimes know exactly what we need. But I like this. Hang on. Let me keep pushing here. In verse 3, then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. Somebody say everywhere. From all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather. Somebody say, do not gather just a few. And when you come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she says to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, watch this tragic moment, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Everybody say, the oil ceased. Heavenly Father, we ask before we take our seats that you just continue to charge the atmosphere. Continue to speak in this place. Continue to hear, let your people hear what they need to hear, God, as we continue to align our hearts for takeoff. As we continue to prepare for the greatest year of our life up until this point, this new decade of 2020. God, I pray this is going to be the most amazing year of their life up until this point. And so, Father, we just ask that you minister, speak, bless, encourage, motivate in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so, as I told you, January has been a little bit different because my assignment is not just to preach you happy, but really we're in preparation. This whole month, we're in preparation. And I will say this, pause. I apologize, and I don't want to forget that next Sunday we do have a guest speaker coming who will continue to help us get our preparation. Apostle Miles Williams will be here in the house next Sunday. And just not to backtrack too far, but I always want you to know, throughout our church, we are a mixed group of nuts. You understand what I mean? We are a different bag of people. Amen. We've got millennials. We got a lot of seasoned people. We got everything. And I want our church to continue to stay that way. I don't know where you want to go to church, but I don't want to go to church where everybody's just like everybody. I want to go to church where it looks like heaven. I know it's Martin Luther King. I know this is, you know, the celebration of Martin Luther King Day. And Martin Luther King wasn't just for black people. He was for everybody. He was in justice for white, Hispanic, young, seasoned, male, female. That's why I like me some MLK, because he wasn't just for one. He was for all. And I believe heaven is like that. I believe when you get to heaven, you're not going to be like, let me go hang out in the black corner. You understand? It's going to be spiritual. It's going to be young, seasoned. It's going to be, and when I worship on Sunday, I am asking God, make this church look like heaven. I want the prostitute that you deliver. I want the preacher that retired. I want the widow. I want the gangbanger. I want the white people, the black people, the Hispanic, the Native American, the in-between, the lesbian, ex-homosexual. I want everybody worshiping, the struggling. Because I want it to look like heaven when we worship. And that's why I always try to you know, when we do things, I'm like, I want everybody in here. And so with saying that, Apostle Miles, throughout the year, we're working on different things and speakers to come in. We're going to have some that can, you know, come in seasoned people. We'll have millennials come in and speak. You know, Pastor Denard on New Year's Eve, that's a young guy, 35 years old, young guy. Apostle Miles, a lot bit older, come on somebody. And seasoned, we had Bishop in last, you know, so just so you understand, there's going to be a dynamic of difference, and Apostle Miles, very anointed, you know, and so just saying that, whenever I put somebody in this year, you're going to be blessed this year, put it that way. As long as they got the anointing on them, I don't care what they look like. Come on, somebody, if they can bring it and God's with them, everything's going to be all right. So next Sunday, we need to pack this house out, come in ready to tear this place up. Somebody say amen. And so he's going to continue to help us. And my assignment in January is really using this month to prepare you for your greatest season. As we've been talking for the last few Sundays, every Sunday, including this one, that this month is a month of preparation. That God shared with us the theme for what he's doing. The way for this church is going to be groundbreaking. It is going to be a pioneering. It is going to be an innovative year. It means that you are going to experience what you've never experienced before in your life in a good way. And I'm not preaching, you know, feel good. I'm telling you what heaven has spoken, what heaven has said. That's why on New Year's Eve, if you were here, Lord literally said, be careful what you say this night, because what comes out of your mouth as a prophet, you're locking your people in. Because God said, I need you to begin to speak this and say this, and this is the year that God is doing some groundbreaking things. We've already begun to see it, meaning what couldn't have been done is now going to be done. What your mother and fathers never experienced, you're going to experience. Things that your people in your generation never were able to get to, you're going to get to this year. This is going to be, somebody say, groundbreaking. And so I've been laying that foundation for 2 weeks, and it's really in Ephesians. Put up Ephesians 3:20, and I'll kind of get there. This is going to be an Ephesians 3:20 type of year, where God, let me read to you. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Come on, somebody. God says, this right here, he said, make sure you talk. See, this is what you're locked into right now. God is not going to do just what you ask. He's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can even ask. And what I like, it says, or think. And now that's where God got me right there. Because I can ask for a lot, but I can also think greater than I can ask for. Come on. And if God can give me greater than I can think, come on, I am set for an amazing, amazing year. He said, things you don't even think about, I'm about to give it to you. Things that are about to change. Come on, this is an Ephesians 3:20 groundbreaking, where God's about to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you ask or think, church. That's why I always keep telling you guys, go to the mailbox with expectation. Because people, you got to understand how your God moves. He doesn't just send it from heaven floating down. He moves through people to bless your life. You'd realize every time God blesses you, he's going to use something or someone or an organization or something to touch your life. That's why every time I go somewhere, I'm looking for somebody to bless me. Did you bump into me? Did you trying to bless me? I thought they were trying to hand me something. Because it's a groundbreaking year, and I'm looking for God. God is right now, while we're sitting here, God is ministering to somebody in May. He's setting up playing chess that you're going to walk into somebody, and they're going to be like, I just felt led to give this to you right here. I don't know if it's keys to a car, keys to a house. Matter of fact, somebody's boss is about to get fired, so somebody can bring somebody else in that's going to slide you into that position. God help me. You can't find favor with this person, so God says, listen, I'm going to remove them so you can get what I have for your life. Because God is not worried about moving somebody that don't see. That's why the Bible says, if you're not for me, you against me. And God lets us know, listen, if you're not for my people, come on, then you're not for my plan. And God will find somebody that he can put in there to bless your life. Come on, touch your neighbor, say, you're blessed if you're connected to me. Now stay with me, because this is one of those Ephesians 3:20 year. This is that exceeding year. This is that year where God wants to do overflow like never before. And my assignment again is preparation. And let me get there, because the thing is, church people, we can shout real good about that stuff. But shouting is hollow if you're not prepared. Because whatever's not prepared, God cannot bless. And that's why it's essential that we just don't shout our way through January. We get happy and we begin to do work. Because one of the greatest things I know about church people, you know how I know, because I'm a church people. Come on, somebody. I done sat over there all my life. And one thing I know is we can get real happy and just walk out happy and don't have nothing going. We just feel, like I told you last week, excuse me, this is not a crack house. Come on, somebody. We don't come and shoot up and go out there. We got to come in here and get high and maintain. Come on, and we got to go out there and begin to do something so we can, you know, stay with God on the course of what God has for us. I told you, I am not a drug dealer. Come on, somebody. I am not your, don't call me on Sunday talking about I need a hit and I need a fix. Can you meet me in real life? No, I'm coming to give you meat to change your life. I'm coming to give you something that you can put in you that when you walk out of here, your life will be greater. And so I want you to see this, and I got to do a lot of teaching here, is that you've got to make sure that there's preparation for what God is about to release. And that's why God, he began to take me to this text that we looked at over in 2 Kings. If you can put that back up again, is that he tells this prophet, the prophet tells this woman, she comes to him, and I need you to catch this. This is how important. That's why we're preaching about the power of first in January. If you haven't been here, get the CDs from the last couple of Sundays. God gives you a January because it's the power of first. First impacts everything else. That's why if you don't believe me, just look at the pattern of life. When Adam came, the only reason that all of us have to be saved and born again because the first man failed. And the first man has impacted everything else. And that's why God had to raise up on what they call the next first man, which is Jesus. And if you get in Jesus, then you have a different pattern in your life. That's why he's the first fruit of the resurrection, because the first can impact everything else. And that's why we talked about, you know, January is the month that can touch every other month. And when we see this, and that's why God gives us a new year, is so he can give us a kickstart with that first. And we see this right here in the text. The widow comes to the man of God. We can go to verse 6. And she comes to him. And she says, hey, we just read it. She says, listen, they about to come get my kids. My husband is dead. He was a man of God. I'm in debt right now, you know, and she goes to him. She says, hey, I need your help. And I need some help up in here. He says, listen, here's what I want you to do. Go get some vessels. And I thought about this. One, why she got to go get vessels tells me she didn't have any vessels. Something that God wanted to use, she didn't have for some reason. And watch what he says to her. He says, give me verse 5 and we'll lay a foundation, because it'll make sense to you here. In verse 5, it says, so she went from him. Go back up verse 4. Let's go back verse 4. We'll lay a really good foundation. Go verse 3. We'll work it. We're going to get there. Amen. It's teaching Sunday. Amen. There it is. Here it is right here. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. And watch what he tells her. Do not just gather a few. He literally just tells her, don't you just gather a few. He never put a limit on how much to go gather. He just says, just make sure you don't do a few. Because what he was trying to tell her is that God is about to do an Ephesians 3:20 in your life. He says, I need you to go gather, but please don't just gather a few. But what messed me up is, why didn't he tell her how many? Because he wanted her to know, whatever your faith is, you just go ahead with it. Whatever you can believe God for, you go right ahead with it. But here's what I want to suggest to you. Don't just believe God for a little bit. Because the God I know is a God of overflow. The God I know will cause your cup to run over in the presence of your enemies. He says you got to prepare for your greatest thing you've ever had before. I love how he tells her. He can't tell her what to expect. He just says expect big. And this is my assignment. This is why God connected me to the scripture, because I'm not telling you what to expect. I'm just telling you, just don't expect a little bit this year. I need you to expect big. I need you to go crazy right now. I want you to almost look at yourself in the mirror and be like, you crazy for thinking that. I want you to drive and be like, am I really believing God for that this year? I need you to understand that God is sending me to be that prophet to tell you to go gather vessels from everywhere. Go get your dreams from anything. Go get your vision bigger than you ever had it before. Gather what you can gather. And he says this to her, He says, gather a few. Verse 4, he goes on to say, he says, don't just gather a few. He says, and when you come into the house, all that stuff with your son, set aside full ones. Verse 5, he goes, verse 5, he says, shut the door behind you. And I like this right here. I like when he says, shut the door behind you. And I thought about this. I'm just giving you a drive-by of things. I'm not trying to preach. It just hit me. Is, you know, shut the door, because what God does, everybody don't need to be involved. We always trying to involve everybody in this world called social media. Sometimes you need to just close the door and let just you and God go through some stuff. Come on, somebody. In this post-it generation, you just need to learn how not to post it sometimes. And you just need to close the door on you and God and say, God, work this thing out in my family. Come on, somebody. Every now and then, we are just too post everything in a generation. He says, close the door, because some things God can't do with everybody in your face and in your business. You got to learn that there's some things in your life you got to walk through with your God by yourself. But here's where I got to get to. Here's what messed me up. Verse 6, powerful verse. Here it is right here. Here it is. Verse 6. He says, and when the vessels were full, God honored it. He began to fill the vessels. And then here's the problem. And watch what happens. Then she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He says, we got a problem. That's all we got. Meaning she wanted more. God was willing to do more. But watch what happened. There was another vessel. There was not another vessel. And the Bible says when God realized that she didn't have something prepared, the oil ceased. That bothers me, because I believe that they didn't put that in there on accident. She wanted more, but she was not prepared for more. She desired more. She said, son, bring me another. I want more. He says, mom, we're not prepared. And since she was not prepared, God says, I got to cut you off. I cannot give you what heaven had for you, not because of heaven, but because you didn't prepare. And church, here's what I'm trying to tell you in this month of January, is if you're not prepared, you're going to miss the oil that God has for you in 2020. If you don't take what the prophet, what your pastor is saying, if you don't take what I'm saying serious about this fast, if you don't take what I said about those five pillars serious, you're going to be going through another year, and it's not going to be anything but a rerun of 1999 and 2019 and 2018. I don't want a rerun. Come on, somebody. I've seen the movie of failure. I've seen the movie of sickness. I've seen the movie of not having enough money. I don't want to live another rerun. You've got to prepare in this month of January like you've never prepared before, because when March comes and God says, I want to pour out, but you didn't prepare your life in January, the oil will cease, the groundbreaking will stop, the overflow, the position, the transitions to another level, God will cease if you're not prepared. The most important part of a Christian's life is preparation. Hear me very carefully. I told you, I'm not trying to shout you. I'm trying to get you right. We have got to learn how to prepare for a God who wants to move. We preach, people shout, throw a dollar, holler. Ain't nothing wrong with that if stuff is not prepared. It's God is greater than just give you something. He has to make sure there's preparation so you can handle what he's giving you. And I feel for the lady, because watch what the Bible says. I didn't put that in parentheses. Watch what the Bible says. It put it there. She bring me another vessel. The Bible says, I need you to catch this, that she wanted more from God. And I need you to catch this. God wanted to do more for her. He had a plan for her to do more. The prophet warned her, do not gather just a few. He literally told her, go get as many as you can get. He didn't tell her when to stop getting. He said, listen, I'm trying to tell you, God is getting ready. She was not prepared, and the oil ceased. Church, God is a God of preparation. Give me Matthew 14, 18. I don't have time to read it to you. Here's what I need, the whole thing. Let me just lay this down. Do you remember when they were feeding the people with the fish and the loaves of bread? I like this, because watch what Jesus says. He said, bring them here to me. But watch the process. Verse 19, here it is. Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took fish and the five loaves and the fish, looked up heaven, blessed it, and he gave it to them. But you notice he says to them, I need you to sit down. I always look at scripture like, why people got to sit down? Because I know I can stand and eat a fish sandwich. Come on. But what God said is I had to prepare something, which was I wanted them in a certain posture before I blessed them. And what January is doing, watch what he says. You can't read your Bible and just jump over stuff. We just do that too much. He literally says, he didn't ask, he commanded the multitudes, I need you to sit down. Because if you're not in the position and you're not postured right, I cannot bless you. Why did they have to sit down? He says, I needed them in the proper preparation. I needed them in a certain position. Because what happens, church, if we're not there, we go into that rerun type of cycle in our life. And we begin to see it in this year with a different color and a different skirt and a different shoes and a different building and a different person. And you're like, oh, it seems new. It's not new. You're about to have the same rerun again. Because you didn't go through the proper preparation for the glory that God has begun to want to bring in your life. Anybody ever hear something called preseason in football? There's a reason why it's called preseason. You can't get in shape during the season. You got to go to preseason, and you got to prepare, because in preseason, that's where you set the culture. In preseason, that's where you put in the playbook. In preseason, that's where you throw away the old, and you begin to put in a new ideology, and you begin to get in shape for a new season. Matter of fact, if anybody follows football, you know that every year rules change. And in preseason, watch this right here, they go over with every player, hey, here's the new rules for this season. Because everybody seems to almost want to play by the old rules every new season. And what God is saying to us is he's more invested in our preseason than our actual season. God is saying, because in January of this new decade, rules have changed. Rules have changed for your life. What you used to do then that worked then, how many know God is trying to pull you out? Maybe what worked in 2019 is not going to work for you in 2020. Oh, God, y'all didn't like that. I didn't say what went wrong. I said what worked in 2019 may not work in 2020 because it's a new season. And God says, I'm getting ready to give you what you never had before. So you can't keep doing what, even though it worked, you got to be willing to change. And that's what I preached to you last week. You got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to be able to do something different and don't let it become a tradition. Well, that worked for me all my life. Well, it just may not work in 2020 because God is trying to take you where your mama ain't never been, what your daddy has never seen, what your family has never tasted. And if you got to keep doing it the same way, rules of engagement with the devil have changed. You can't just yell at the devil. You got to fast in his face and say, devil, I rebuke you. And you can't just keep doing it the way you've always done it. And God invests in your preseason, puts protocol in place. That's why they call, what they call that in baseball, I'm not a big baseball guy, training camp. What they did in the fall out here, spring training, thank you. Spring training, y'all know what I'm talking about. Spring training is the same thing. Everybody is always pre. We just see them on the field when season, but they had to do everything before. And church, I'm trying to get you to catch what heaven is teaching us. Is this January is so important to the rest of your year. It is. That's why every time in the Bible, God, we saw it last week. I'm not going to go over again. He said, give me the first. We saw the animals, the firstborn. That's why I said, get the seed of your life. I showed it to you, the power first. In the Bible, God always said, give me the first. Give me your preseason. Give me your training camp. Give me your first, and I'll bless the rest. God, help me. That's the power of the tithe. I've been teaching you why tithing has not worked. Because tithing, remember I told you, you don't just tithe after everything else. God wants to tithe first. He wants preseason. He wants training camp. He wants January. Tithe represents the first because, remember, the first touches everything else. And whatever you get your finances, you get your income, the first thing that you do with that, that is your first, and it's responsible for the rest. And God said, that's why you tithe, but it's really not working. Is because you are doing it, you're doing everything else, and you're like, oh, I got some tithe left over, have it, God. And that really is not putting God first. That's why online and social, those things have become a blessing because, you're able to say, hey, I got this right here. And I preach to make sure we're not in legalism just because you can't get to church right away. You still got bills to pay. We understand that. God, heaven understands that. God says, just write it, put it away, and it's already have it accounted for. And because what happens, God said, now I'm first, I can take care of the rest. And I used to wonder why my dad and my mother, when they tithe, how when we didn't have nothing, all week long we'd be sustained. I can remember my dad back in the day didn't make a whole lot. Even for back then, that was a whole lot. But somehow, I remember when I would go stay with him, and he would write that, and I'm like, man, how does Joker pay him bills? He must have like a little sidekick or something. You understand? He hustling in the streets. But he wasn't hustling. God was just taking care of us. Do you understand? You remember, I like this right here. You got a sustain key up there. You got that little sustain thing. I've used this before, because when you give God the first, he'll take care of the rest. Let me do this. You may have seen me do this before in the years past. Ryan, hit a key without sustaining, without a sustain. I need you to hit a key real hard. Listen with your ears. Okay, hit it one more time. Same thing. See, this is what it sounds like when you tithe, and you either you don't tithe or you tithe out of order. It makes a noise. Go ahead and hit it. Go ahead and hit it. Hit it again. Now watch what happens when you put God first. You say, God, I'm giving you the first. Now watch what he does. I want you to sustain it. Put your foot on it. Give it to God first. Hit the same key and listen to it. Okay. Oh, y'all missed it. When I give God my first, he'll take that 90. Hit it for me. Hit it for me. At 90, keep going. How am I paying gas? How am I doing this with this little bit? Because God has blown on it, and you gave it to him first. He can sustain what you can't sustain by yourself when you shift and you get God in the right place. That's the power. That's what God says. When you give me everything, that's how your year won't be short and dry. I'll sustain that joker, not just your money, but in your prayer life and your seeking him and your serving and your church attendance. When you shift and put God first, he'll sustain you. Somebody say he'll sustain you. And church, that's what I'm using this month in heaven is to make sure that we are in proper place. Because one of the things is that when we see believers, they shout, and then all of a sudden, you know, we don't do anything. You got to make a move right now. You got to decide right here before you get to your car, I'm jumping in this church fast. I'm ready to go where God has never taken me before. I'm ready to do what I've never done before, to get what I've never seen before. And you have got to make up your mind. I'm just not going to be churchy, but I'm ready to shift. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, I'm ready to shift. Here it is. Let me get you there. Here's how you do it. Here it is. Let me give you a couple of things. I gave us a couple of last week, and I'm going to give you a few more. And if you were here last week, God shifted service. He just took it to another level. God had me jumping off a stage and stuff. Almost broke my back. If it wasn't for the oil, it would have broke. Come on, somebody. If it wasn't for that anointing, I was like, what just happened after service? Because y'all don't know, when I'm preaching, sometimes I get so intoxicated. Come on, the Holy Spirit takes over. You anybody ever drink? Come on, somebody. Don't act like you ain't been intoxicated before. If you were here on Wednesday night, when the Holy Spirit, come on, when he's in you, you're in control, but you just feel a little bolder. You understand what I'm saying? If that's why the Bible says be drunk with the Holy Spirit, come on. When you get, see, when y'all start shouting and I'm shouting on the inside, I just do crazy stuff. Come on. Because it's not that God has taken over. I'm just emboldened to let the Spirit lead me, and I'm crazy enough to follow because I'm intoxicated. Y'all act like you have never been intoxicated. Whether in your BC days or on New Year's after you left church. Come on, somebody. That you went and you got a little, come on, you start talking, you start singing, you start dancing. You can't sing, you can't dance. You don't like talking in front of people. And next thing you know, you're doing a running man. Oh, come on, in the club. And everybody like, who are you? You're just intoxicated. You're influenced by the alcohol. And that's why the Bible says when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll be my witnesses. You'll be bold. You'll tell them about Jesus. And then you step back and be like, who opened them? Who was that talking? You were filled with God and led by the Spirit. And here's the thing. Here it is. Let me get you there. But the question is, here is how you are able to handle and have an amazing year. As I told you last week, The title subject today is part two, a line for takeoff. Part two today is a line for takeoff. Last week I gave us part one, and I told us a few things, because as I was coming back on the plane from out of town, we were flying back from Hawaii, and the Lord just gave me the whole sermon outline. And as I put it there, he began to use my surroundings to minister. And I used, last week I was using certain protocol, plane protocol, and I'm going to stay the course and finish, because last Sunday I couldn't finish. God just began to do what he did. And so I want to get back to that and give us a couple of more points, because as I talked about last week, if you've ever been on a plane, they prepare before they take off. And you better thank God for that. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's why when we go to airport, I don't care about delays. Come on, somebody. Delay me all you want. Because if you're working to make sure I'm good, I'm good. People get frustrated and stuff. I'm like, no, slow this joker down. Keep checking. Check everything. You understand? And I told you, before they fly, there's always certain protocol pre-takeoff. I told you when we left Arizona the first time, there was some de-icing that took place. I was good. We sat on the runway for a long time because they were making sure before it got going that it was completely prepared for any and everything it might go through. They do so many different things. And you know, my family was kind of laughing at me because you know how you got to take your shoes off and go through a little machine, put your hands up, and the thing rotates around. They always get me. They always like, bring him over here. I'm like, man, come on, somebody. And they just searching everything. I'm like, bro, come on, you know, that's just me. But I'm okay with that. Because if you do that with everybody, I need to make sure I'm all right. Come on, somebody. Do whatever you got to do before you get on that plane because they're invested in the pre-takeoff more than they are the total flight. Because the flight will be better and it'll be safer and you'll get to your destiny if they do everything right before it ever leaves the ground. And if you want to get to where God has for you in 2020, we've got to do everything right on this January before you fully take off and get off in air and you start hitting turbulence. Come on, somebody. If I hit turbulence, everybody may go through some turbulence this year. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. But the difference between us and them is as long as we have everything in order, I'm okay with turbulence if we did everything before I hit the turbulence. I'd rather go through turbulence with God in order in my life than to go through turbulence without God. Come on, somebody. And I'd rather, if I'm going to go through turbulence in a plane, I might sit there a little funny. Come on, somebody. But I remember they took care of this joker before pre-takeoff. And matter of fact, before pre-takeoff, this is what I love about a pilot. Come on. I'm not even in my notes. I'm just having fun. Watch this right here. The greatest part of a flight that gives you comfort, you know who it is? You know who it is? The pilot. Forget the steward and stewardess. No offense, Leonard, because I know I got some stewardess in here. Stewardess. I'm sorry. He said steward, Pastor Stewart. I didn't know he was that close. Okay. Flight attendant. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just help me. Pray for me. But the people that serve you, you know what I'm talking about. And they, you know, they do the little thing and it's okay and all that stuff. I used to watch them because, you know, if you're ever on a plane and they look nervous and they fly every day and they look nervous, you might want to get nervous. I just look at them. We hit turbulence. I just look at them. They good, we good. But they look funny, and they start hanging on. It's like, uh-oh, you know. But one of the things I realized is what gave me comfort is when the pilot would come on. And you could tell, in my opinion, a good pilot from a bad pilot, because they begin to talk to you. And he told us before we took off from one location, he said, listen, we are going to hit some turbulence. And that's fine. Some people freak out, but at least you know before we took off, that there was going to be some turbulence. That means that before we took off, this plane is prepared for whatever it's got to go through because you already knew it was going to come. See, I don't like the pilots that, you know, they don't say nothing. And you hitting turbulence like, did y'all know this was coming? And they say something after it's over. No, brother, tell me ahead of time. So I know that you know that this was coming and you prepared for it. Because they have them instruments where they check weather and they can see stuff and they know, you know, the pressure in the air, so they know there's pockets you're going to hit. And they can put you up above it or bring you a little bit lower so you can get around it. And see, that's what God is. See, in January, God is trying to prepare you because he knows where your turbulence is. He knows what you're going to hit. And you cannot miss this season of preparation. And when God is preparing you, don't you miss out, because he's the one that sees everything before you ever get there. And you've got to be prepared for the turbulence that may come your way. Your preparation. Everybody say preparation. You gotta be prepared. You gotta be prepared. Here it is. Let me get where I'm going. And so there's certain things that, you know, when he speaks, I'm comforted. Man, when he speaks, I'm like, whoo, here that voice is. After it, he'll be like, bing, and then he begins to talk. He says, you know, now it's gonna be clear the rest of the ride. I'm like, whoo, yeah. You know, and his voice is comforting, and it's not in my message, but somebody needs to hear this. Why you gotta stay connected with God. You gotta learn how to hear his voice. If you don't know the voice of God, you'll never be comforted this year. You can go through, as long as I know that voice, bing, and he begins to speak in my spirit, I'm all right. I'm all right. But here it is. Here's where I got to get to. Is my first thing is one of the things for today is understanding that on the plane, here's one thing that I realized they had to do. They had to maintain cabinet pressure. They had to maintain. Everybody say maintain. We'll get to cabinet pressure in a minute. The one of the things they talked about is if we lose pressure, that the little mask will drop down. One thing nobody ever wants to see, right? That means something went wrong. And so they let you know they're going to try to maintain cabinet pressure. And what God began to speak to me is that when a flight takes off, they do everything before they take off to make sure that it maintains. And to me, this speaks to us as believers more than you think, because one of the things I realize is that we can take off, but we can't maintain. And the greatest tragedy is, and the frustration of a shepherd, is that when you begin to preach to people and they can't maintain. When you preach, now listen, I know we're human, but one of the things you got to shift your life to do is be able to maintain what you're getting right now. How church fills up all around America on January. And people say, I'm trying to get right with God. I'm shifting back first. I hear the pull of heaven about that first. And you begin to tithe, you begin to serve, you begin to change things. But the problem is, can you maintain? Can you maintain what you had on the ground when you take off? Can you maintain serving God? Can you maintain seeking God? Can you maintain your prayer life? Can you maintain fasting? Because I realized that some people took off fasting, but they ain't even maintained it for a week. And the challenge of a believer, and I'm not knocking you, is you've got to learn how to maintain this year. That's why I said, I don't want to get you high. I need you to maintain. I need you to be able, somebody say maintain. I need you to be able to look back in March and say, I'm still hanging on to my joy in January. I'm still loving God the way I loved him in January. Even when I hit turbulence, I'm maintaining cabinet pressure. I'm maintaining lifting up his name. I'm maintaining that he's everything in my life. When I, you know, we preach people and people either, you know, either certain things, they just do not, they're not able to maintain anymore. And church, that is a struggle with Christians, is that we get so high and then all of a sudden we just begin to, you know, kind of shift away. But some this year, you're going to maintain this year. I'm speaking it over you. This is not a year to fool around with God and go back to how it was, because that's what the devil, he's in Vegas right now. He's betting on you. Forget the Conor McGregor fight. He's betting on your life right now. He's sitting there saying, listen, do you know how many people lost money last night on a 40-second fight? I don't know if y'all watch UFC. I paid $64 for that fight. That joker lasted 40 seconds. I'm mad. I'm mad at myself. Like, why I pay for that dumb thing? My daughter got up and said, well, I guess that's over. I'm like, Joker, I just paid $64 for that. I saw that at Circle K in the hood. They fight better than that. Come on. 40 seconds. I get somebody 20. Fight for me. Come on, somebody. Amen. But the devil is betting on your life. They ain't going to maintain. He in Vegas right now. I put odds on him. Little demon's like, I'm the generational devil. I put 20 on. They ain't going to make it past January. The other one's like, no, nah, I'm their flesh struggle. I put 30 on it that I'm going to get them by February. They won't even be back in church. They in Vegas right now putting odds. They going to step back like, I'm going to go get them today. And what happens is they are betting you can't maintain. They're betting that all you're doing is getting high in January. And the problem with the church is we don't know how to maintain. You remember Lot, give me Genesis real quick. Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. Y'all all right so far? We're familiar with this. Genesis 19, 17 is, I like this because this is Lot when he was leaving, and you know the story, don't look back. And I want to show you this because God brought this to me. It said, so it came to pass when they had brought them outside. When God had brought them outside of something, if you leave outside of something, you're in something new. He brought them outside of 2019. Come on, somebody. He brought them outside of something that he said, escape for your life. But he, watch what he says. Do not look behind. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Here's what the Lord gave me. Let's fast forward. So if you don't know the story, you know the story. Verse 18, in verse 18, then Lot said, Lord, said to them, please know my Lord. Verse 19, and indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight and you have increased your money. Which you have shown me by saving my life, but can I escape to the mountains, lest some of the evil overtake me and I die. Here's the point of the story. His wife looked back. She got out of the issue. Watch what happened. It's not about her looking back. The problem is she couldn't maintain going forward. She couldn't maintain her posture. She couldn't maintain what God told her to do. She couldn't maintain. She had to shift back into something different. And it's not about looking back, because it's really about, can you maintain where you are with God without going back? And this is what the devil is betting is. There's a lot of Lot's wives up in here who they are going forward with this fast and they're going forward with everything. But he's like, I bet you they look back. I bet you they can't maintain. I bet you they begin to say, I can't do this. I bet you they ignore how Pastor said we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us, and we can do this fast for 21 days. I bet you when they hit a little turbulence in their money, they say, I'm not putting God first. I bet you they look back, they can't maintain. See, it wasn't that she looked back. We all told her she couldn't maintain. Everybody say maintain. And church, here's what I'm saying to you. The greatest tragedy of a believer is maintaining. We have got to realize, you've got to realize where you are in your walk with God. And you've got to realize where you're at right now. And you got to fight to maintain. You know, and even in our sin, let me say something to you. How many know that when you sin, God's got grace? Anybody ever shout over the goodness of God's grace? Here's what I want to tell believers. Know your struggles this year. Know who you are. Not pretend to be. Know who you are. I know you pretend to be holy up in here, but really you walk out of here, know to yourself, this is my issue in life. This is my thorn in the flesh. If you can't be real with nobody, be real with you. Be real with yourself. And know your weakness in life. And know that, and here's why you gotta know your weakness is because when you understand your weakness, you gotta make sure that you're saying, okay, I need to try to walk away from this thing and stay away from it. I need to maintain, and what happens is we understand God's grace. For wherever you're weak, he's got grace for you. Meaning where you struggle, God says, I'm going to cover you. You ain't, watch this, stay with me. If you're a child of God, you believe Jesus in your heart, God's like, you ain't going to hell for it. Somebody say amen. That's grace. But here's what happens is sometimes we get crazy with grace. We act like because there's grace, our weakness is okay. Just because God gives you grace doesn't mean he's okay with it. And we can mistake his grace for weakness. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever take your kindness for weakness? And the Bible says in Romans 6:1, throw it up there, it talks about because grace abound, do we continue in sin? You got to understand, it says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin? That grace abound? Meaning because there's grace for our issues, he's saying don't be okay with it. Don't, just because there's grace, God's got you, you're not going to hell for it. Somebody say amen right there. I thank God. Come on, somebody. Because all of us, I don't know if you know, we're all up in flesh right here. I don't care how cute your flesh is, how much perfume or cologne you put on. Come on, Versace, I don't know what you put on this morning. But under all that, your flesh is a hot mess. Your flesh will cause you to do stuff you really don't want to do. And you got to know that flesh. Come on, somebody. And you got to know, here's the goodness of God. He is going to make provisions for your flesh. And it's called grace. Come on. It's called, my son died on the cross for your sins, so you ain't got to pay for that thing. But here's where you got to be okay. You got to be okay with, I'm not okay with that issue. Even though God is covering it, I'm not okay with it. I myself ain't okay with what I see myself do sometimes. Okay, I'm preaching. I don't know who I am. It's about five of us that can be real with ourselves in heaven today. I know God's got me covered, but I ain't okay with it. Even though I enjoy it, even though I do it, I still ain't okay with what I see myself do. And what happens is, if we're not okay with that, if we don't have that mindset, we'll go back. We will not maintain. The only way to maintain is you got to, one, know your weakness, and you can't be okay with what you struggle with. Because I know you say, well, Pastor, I struggle. Well, listen, I know you struggle too. You ain't got to tell me. I just need you not to be okay with it. That's how you maintain, is I know what my struggle is, and I'm not okay with it. Although I do it, I ain't okay with it. Although God will cover it, I'm not okay with this thing. And people who can do that, it'll help them to maintain. Because what happens is when you get comfortable in your sin, that's how you look back. That's how you go back, is when you become comfortable in God's grace. God's grace is not for you to get comfortable. It's not. And I'm a grace preacher, teacher. I want you to live by grace. Don't make yourself feel condemned. That's not what I'm saying. God doesn't. Romans 8:1 says there is now no condemnation, meaning there is no guilt to those who are in Christ Jesus. So I'm not saying beat yourself up. I'm not saying that. I'm saying don't be okay with it. Don't go to the point where you're ready to jump off a bridge. Oh, I did that. That ain't what I'm saying. What I'm saying is don't get comfortable in his grace. Do not get comfortable in his grace. Tell my God forgives me. It's going to be all right. I know that. But don't be okay with that thing. Because what happens is when God brings you outside of it, you begin to look back because you're comfortable in it. But if I'm going to maintain, I got to keep going saying I'm not okay with it. And when you do that, it's going to change your life. Tell your neighbor, say maintain.
Let me push this a little bit. That was just free for somebody. But here, let me show you really how another way to maintain. And I wasn't even going to go there, but God said, I need you to put this in there. It's let them know, you know, do not be comfortable in his grace. It's there. He loves it. But here's what I really want somebody to see. Luke 4, and I may not even get to my others. I may just have to shut it down on Luke 4 because it's rich. Luke 8, verse 4. And I want you to see this. Let me read a little bit here because this is really where you're going to find yourself here somewhere in one of these. And we're familiar with this parable in Luke 8, verse 4. When he's talking about this parable in Luke 4, and I need you to catch this because I asked God, I said, God, why do we not maintain? Why do we get happy and we just keep going back and we can't stay the course and you get us and we got to maintain. Got to maintain cabinet pressure. Got to maintain in March. Got to maintain in the summertime. Got to maintain. Why is church always crowded and packed everywhere in January? Because everybody gets high and the devil goes to Vegas. Come on, start putting his money down, and then he attacks you, and you can't maintain. Why do we get on board with a church fast, and then halfway through, if I'm going to start, I'm going to finish. I ain't going to be happy every day, but I'm going to get through it every day. I ain't waking up talking about, let's go fast. I'm rolling out the bed like, here we go. Lord, help me through this right now. Get on my knees. Come on, somebody. I may look excited on some of them videos, but let that joker go off. I'm like, Lord, help a brother right now. My daughter told me the other day, Dad, is it time for you to eat yet? Because you need some help up in here. She's like, I was like, okay, am I cranky? Let me read, let me pray a little bit. Come on, somebody. But Luke, watch this. You're going to find yourself here in verse 4. Let me show you this. Watch this. It says, and watch this. It says, and when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him, meaning Jesus, from every city, he spoke by a parable. Watch what he says. He says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some of the seed, watch what he says, fell by the wayside. It fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Let me understand the sower. The seed is really the word of God. How many know that God has used me in my gift to sow seed in your life every Sunday? I need you to catch what he's saying. He said the sower goes out, the preachers go out, and they sow the word of God into people's lives every single Sunday. Every time you gather, there's seed being sown. The sower went out to sow his seed. And watch what happened. He sowed it, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Well, watch what he says. He says, and I like this, some fell by the wayside, meaning some of the people fell by the wayside. Verse 5, let me get this real quick. Verse 5, and the sower went out, and he sowed some seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside. Give me next verse, verse 6, I'm sorry. Some fell, watch the next one, and some not only fell on the wayside, but they fell on the rock. And soon as it sprang up, meaning the word got in them, it sprang up and it withered away because of lack of moisture. Verse 7, watch what happened. And then some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and it choked it. Verse 8, but others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. Then he said, these things, he cried, who has ears to hear? Let him hear. Go all the way back to me to verse, give me my first verse there, please. Go back, because here's what I want you to see. Is in verse 4, go to verse 5, verse 5. The seed was sown to everybody. The same seed. Everybody got it, but didn't everybody maintain it? Everybody got the same seed. That's why I always say when people say, I just ain't growing in a church. And people say all the time. Now, either something is really backwards there, but the seed is the seed. The problem is usually never the seed. Come on, somebody. It's the person receive. It's the soil. You're the soil. The seed is going out. If something ain't working, check the soil. Come on, somebody. Anytime you put seed in the ground, the problem is not the seed. It's the soil that you put it in. And in every person, the sower sowed the same seed. But watch what was different. The heart of the soil. And one of those four, you just found yourself. Every person in here on your row and the person in front of you, every person behind you is in one of those. Here's the first one right here. Here's what I love about this parable, because if you read through it, in the wayside, in the rock, it gives you who they are when you read on. But give me verse 5. It says, a sower went out to sow seed, and he sowed it, and some fell by the wayside. Everybody say wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air. I like this right here. Look at wayside. Here's wayside. Some of your wayside. Some of your wayside soil. Verse 12, watch what it says. Fast forward to verse 12. What I love about it, if you read on, it gives you actually the answer key to each thing. It says, those by the wayside are ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He said, they sit, they hear the seed. Boom. They hear it. Watch this. But before it can root in, before they get to their car, watch what it says. The angels of heaven, it didn't say that. The lady who gonna irritate you on your way out the door, it didn't say that. It says the text you're gonna get in the middle is gonna make you mad about something. Watch what it says. The devil comes and takes it out of their heart. They hear it, but it can't get in. That's not a problem with the seed, it's a problem with the soil. And this is why the devils are in Vegas betting, because they have an assignment while you're sitting here is for you to hear it, because they can't stop you from getting here sometimes. If you press your way, you'll get here, you'll hear it. And they say, since we couldn't stop them from getting there, let me take away the word out of their heart. Let me make sure that it can't get in, although they're sitting in church, they're getting seed, but it ain't going nowhere. You've got to understand, your responsibility is to fight to hang on to that word all day long. Your job is to make sure that when that word goes forth, you got to let it get inside of your heart. You got to make sure that you understand that the devil has an assignment to take away the word that gets in here. Listen to me, church. The whole job is you got to protect the word. I can't protect the word for you. You got to protect the word. And what the devil is going to use is your past experience, like Lot's wife. You're going to get somewhere, and the devil going to say, you remember this? And it can't even, you're going to get so all in that, it ain't even going to get in your heart. You walk out, and you're going to be like, remember, you get ready to tithe, and you're going to be like, remember, you got to pay that bill. That's not you. That's the devil. That is the devil knowing, I can't let that get inside of them. Because if it gets in that soil, it's going to take root, and they're going to have a changed life, and they don't even know it. And his assignment is every generational devil, every word that's been prophesied, every word spoken, they're standing because they can't stay up in this joker. Come on, somebody. Too much fire up in here. But they sitting on your hood talking about, I don't know what he's saying, but when they get out here, I'm about to grab that joker. Like, hey, don't you go in there. I wouldn't go in there. Come on, somebody. They're sitting out there having a full devil convention waiting on us out there. And soon as service lets out, they be like, I'll be back. There's my ride. Come on, somebody. They jump in your back seat. They like taxis waiting on a ride somewhere today. Come on. They like, there he come. I got this joke. I'll see you next week, Joe. You know, they be talking to each other. And when they get in there, all of a sudden your wife say something sideways, y'all start cussing before you hit Bell Road. Well, there you go. I don't even know why we came to church today. I told you this morning. I didn't want to go anyway. Oh, yeah, don't laugh too hard. You about to give it away. Come on, somebody. And now you won't even have no word in you because that devil high-fiving each other. Talking about, I got him. Come on, tell Vegas. Give me my money. Come on. Lucifer, give me a raise. They ain't even get that word in them. Church, you got to fight to hang on to God's word. You got to fight your thoughts and be like, God, I take that thought captive. I'm letting that word get in. My flesh don't want to do it, but I got to fight to hold on to the word of God. When the man of God says, the word says I'm healed, and God says I'm healed, my knees start hurting, but I'm holding on to the word of God. You're fighting with her. You're fighting with him. Your fight is the devil to hang on so the word can get in. Because once it get in, it's going to take root. And once it takes root, he can't do nothing about it. Touch your neighbor. Say, I hope you're not wayside. You got to maintain. Here's the other one. Watch what it says in the other one. In verse 6, it says rocky soil. Give me verse 6 real quick. It says, and some fell on rocks, rocky. Fast forward to verse 13, because that's the key for that one. Word on rocks. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, watch this, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root. God help me. Watch the difference. Who believe for a while, watch what it says, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. God, that's heavy right there. Watch what it says here. But here it is. Go back to verse 6. I need you to see this. Verse 6. Go to verse 6 again. Watch what it says. Here, watch what it gives us a key. It says, this is what's amazing, is it fell on a rock. and it sprang up. Watch how powerful God's word is. How you spring up in a rock? Anybody ever sow seed in a rock? It, what it's saying is your heart is so hard. Watch this. But God's word is stronger than your hardened heart. He says the word of God, remember, it can penetrate. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. How many know some people come up in here and their hearts are hardened because they're hurt? I ain't even going to church no more, but somebody dragged yourself up in here. Or you come to church because you're chasing a skirt. Come on, somebody. And the only reason you undercover, the only reason you here is because of a female. But inside, you hate church with everything in you. But you sitting up in here, but that word is going forth. And it gets in your heart, your hardened heart, because something happened to you. And this is what I love about God's word. It's so strong. Watch what it says. It sprang up. It got in a hardened heart. That's why I don't care if a criminal can come up in here. The word of God can get in the heart. I don't care what you've been through. The word, that's why it is important to get them here. You're like, well, why am I going to bring them? Let them sit up in here. Let them look mad at me. I have it all the time. People try to mean mummy. I'll mean mummy you right back. Come on, somebody. That word will go into your heart, and you can't do nothing about it. But here's where the problem is. It withers away because of a lack of moisture. I like this because, give my answer key. Give me verse 13 again. That word moisture, watch this. The rocks are those who, and then when they hear it, it turns and they receive joy. But what happens is, because how many of you know, you ever see somebody, happens all the time, somebody gets mad. I'm watching them. They're mad to be at church. But halfway through, that word starts making them feel good. All of a sudden, they the best friend. Come on up here like, man, I had a guy tell me one day, flat out. He says, I wanted to punch you. I'm not making this up. He had a spirit of anger. I even remember I had all security around here one day. And one Sunday he came back, some of y'all remember that he was standing up here at the end of service with his fist ball. And he came back later one day, he told, because his heart was so hard. But anyway, and security, they everybody picked it up and they were standing with it. But you got to understand, your pastor got a little bit of hood in him, you understand? You hit me, I hit you back, it's going to go down. You know, I'm sorry, I love Jesus, but I'm just letting you know. They're like, why you got security? It's to help that brother so I can get off him. Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to help y'all. I'm trying to stay out of jail, you know, so I can stay focused. Just to help it. So anyway, but I watched him over a few Sundays. He kept coming, and the heart, it started getting in him. But the problem is, here's the problem is, watch what it says. In time of temptation, it falls away. Meaning it's in, but as soon as you see something familiar, you can't maintain. When temptation comes, you fall away. Here's the problem. Moisture, if you look at moisture in the Bible, it speaks obviously of wet. Speaks of water. And you can have the word, but if you have no water, then you have no root in your life. Moisture, water, Jesus says, watch what he tells the woman. Where was he sitting with her at? He was at the well. He says that, watch what he says, I am the living water. He's like, I am your moisture. What happens is there's people who get the word, but they don't have the presence of God in their life. Okay, this messes you up. Because you can have word, but you have no presence. See, people who have word and no presence are religious. They can quote scripture better than you. They can quote scripture better than me, but they have no Jesus in their life. Okay, y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. Because you said, well, he is the word. Yeah. See, people can quote the word, but don't have the word. The living words. They can have it. But if they have no moisture, that means the living word, the presence of God. And the way you get the presence of God, watch this, is not just having word, but it's when you have worship with the word. I'm going to help somebody for the rest of 2019. Your whole Spotify is about to change right now. Because you can't just have Beyonce in. Come on now. You can't just have Luther Vandross. Come on, Club 55. You can't just have, you know, you can't just have Marvin Gaye. You can't just have, you got to put on some worship in your life. Because worship draws the presence of God with the word. The devil got the word, but he ain't got no presence. He quoted more scripture to Jesus when Jesus, he was talking to Jesus and he was quoting word to him. Just because somebody quotes the word, let me just put a news flash out. Let me go CNN and put breaking news up. Anybody that quotes the word don't mean they're saved. Come on, somebody. Don't be mesmerized because somebody can shoot off scripture like a machine gun. I've seen people talk about scripture, but they have no oil on their life. They have no presence on their life. But baby, when you put the word in your heart and you begin to lift up the name of Jesus, the presence of God comes in. The anointing takes over your life. And when you hit temptation, you can walk right past it because you got the word and you got his presence. That's why you got to learn how to worship. You got to learn how to worship on your own. You got to learn how to put on a song without a worship team. I wish I had about 50 worshipers in this crowded church. I wish I had about some people who say, when I walk out of here, I'll put on Hillsong. I'll put on Tasha Cobb. I'll do whatever I got to do. I'll worship because God said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out because he draws to the praise and the worship of his people. Somebody shout hallelujah. You got to be a worshiper, baby. If you want just the word, you're in the wrong place. We are worshipers. You are created to worship. God says those that worship me in spirit and in truth. You got to be a worshiper. The reason why you have no strength is because you have word and no worship. See, when you worship, I see people all the time, blah, 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 scripture, scripture, scripture. I'm like, you religious joker. There's so many people who get religious and want to hit you with a scripture. But man, I'm not saying you got to sing. I'm not saying you got to know the words. I don't know what your genre you like, but you better put on some worship in 2020. You better add that to your daily dose of life. I ain't saying you got to cut out everything secular. I'm just saying you got to add something spiritual. That's all I'm saying. Put something in up in there because the reason why you get word and you see something familiar, you go right back to it because you have no presence. And it's not just word, it's presence. Presence brings God, and when you get God, it gives you strength to walk away from the temptation. See, the word will hold you for so long, but I need his presence. The word will get you happy after a while. If I preach long enough to you, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And the Bible says the last shall be first. You're going to get happy. But what happens when you get out there? You need his presence. You need his moisture. You need the living water on you and in you. And when you get his presence and you have worship, let that dude that look fine walk up to you. With your single self, you'd be like, I'm good. Because I already got his presence. I don't need your presence. And the reason why we become so thirsty, come on somebody, is because we don't have his presence, so we're going to get another presence. But when you take that presence in order to somebody else's presence, you're not thirsty no more. I don't care if you're mad right now. Some of y'all thirsty up in here. Y'all looking thirsty. Y'all come to church thirsty. Y'all go to the club thirsty. Y'all just look thirsty. But if you get his presence in your life, some of y'all Club 55, like, they need a drink? What are you talking about? Amen. That's all right. We'll bring you up on the vernacular. Watch this. We should write a book with all my verbiage so people can understand. When I'm preaching, this is what he means. When he says he's almost done, he's just getting started. You understand what I'm saying? Just give him vernacular. It takes about three almost done. He's about to finish. All right, here we go. Pastor's vernacular. He can read it. Oh, that's what he talked about. Yeah. All right, watch this. In the third, verse 7, that's where. So you got to have his presence. Everybody say his presence. It'll help you to maintain. Just word will not help you maintain. You fight to get it in, but you got to water it. You got to bring his presence in your life. And again, let me make sure we're on understanding. There are a lot of people, now I'm not even going to get to my other point, because a lot of people get word and they just don't have his presence. His presence is almost more important than his word. You need the word to get saved. Once you get it, now I need his presence to live. David said, take whatever you want, but take not thy presence from me.